Well, good morning, everyone. Happy to have several visitors with us this morning, and friends from camp and others. We're happy that you're here. I know there's a lot going on in the lives of many. There has been a lot of bad news recently, and we haven't forgotten and will not forget those who are suffering right now from the loss of mothers and in one particular case, in Dodie's case, the granddaughter. That's unthinkable, and we're with them in thought. But today we're going to talk about something. We have a room full here of tired kids, I guess, probably more tired adults. And it's never a good idea for a preacher to promise to be brief. That can backfire really badly. But that's what I'm going to try to do. We're very fortunate here at Folsom, as you from Folsom know, to have 120, 130 kids from high school down. So we're around kids all the time. There are still more adults than kids here, though. So, at least for now. So we haven't been outnumbered yet, although it may work out that way someday. I don't know. But at camp, we're outnumbered. So there are less adults. In fact, we're outnumbered about 3-1. So the atmosphere there is kids. We are there as the camp policy is to do everything for the kids. That's why the camp exists. It's not for us. If we're smart as we look around, we'll learn from them. We'll be smart enough to learn from what we see. Jesus said, unless you turn and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. So as we look at young kids especially, and we see their attitude and demeanor and the way they act, then we're supposed to learn from that. Jesus taught that so that we would learn something from an everyday experience, that experience being children. He goes on in that same passage in Matthew 18 to say, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So children are not only here to be a blessing, not only here to entertain us and do all the things that they do so well, maybe challenge us in some cases, of course, but they're here to teach us as well. That's the way God planned it. At camp, you get a really good idea of this because you see them all the time, and you're stepping back a little bit in the background and you're watching them. And since it's all about them, then we have that opportunity, and we're impressed with different things. We're impressed with their energy level. The older you get, the more impressed you are with just the energy they have. It seems to be never ending. You're impressed by their intelligence. We had a Bible bowl on Friday, and some of the questions they answered were really difficult questions, but they answered those. And they're intelligent. They're a lot more intelligent than sometimes we give them credit for. They're just plain cute, okay? So that's the other thing. And we get to see these little kids. They're precious to us, and we really appreciate them being around. Something I was impressed with that I'd like to talk about today, as I saw these young people all week, I was impressed with their humility, their gentleness, and their kindness. I'm not going to say that this is more... I was more impressed this year than I have been in past years. I think we've been to camp about 6 years here in this camp. But I was impressed with that. I'm going to start, though, with Jesus, because he's the one that gave us this instruction. And then turned over to Matthew chapter 11. Probably the most famous chapter in which Jesus describes himself is found here. I'm going to start at verse 28, Matthew 11, 28. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In his life, Jesus demonstrated what he told us to emulate. He demonstrated this childlike demeanor in the way he conducted himself. He was gentle. He was, and we'll get into this a little further, but he was gentle and, as he says, lowly in heart, gentle and humble. Jesus himself, who was the smartest man who ever lived, the most powerful person who ever walked the earth, He describes himself as gentle and lowly. And then he points to kids and says, let's be like them. Young children are not, they're not motivated by the same things that adults are sometimes motivated by. It's kind of in their nature to be humble and to be receptive of teaching. Turn back to Matthew 11, because before Jesus says what he says in verses 28 to 30, he says this in verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and have revealed them to little children." Just think of it, that little children are the ones, he says, that get it. They're the ones that understand things that sometimes adults miss. He revealed these things to them. The topic this week was, will it matter? That was the topic of camp this week. Will it matter? Does it matter? And the idea was to get the kids to think about the decisions they make. And as they make any particular decision, they say, what will be the result of this? Will this matter 5, 10, 15, 20, 100 years from now? Will it matter? Will it matter what master I choose for my life? You can't serve two masters. Will it matter? Will it matter who I choose for a mission in this life? What will be my mission? What will be my goal? What will I focus on? What will I try to accomplish in this life? Will it matter? And when will it matter? Will it matter what kind of friends I choose? And ultimately, who I marry? Those are some of the topics we talked about. And Jesus says that only those who humble themselves like children will find God's will in these things. You have to be humble and receptive like a child to answer any of these questions. I mean, there's a lot of things people can... If you push out the will it matter only 5 years or 10 years, you say, yeah, it matter if I can get as rich as I can possibly get, that'd be a good thing. And there's a lot of happy people who are rich, a lot of happy people who are famous. We're asking this from a different perspective, aren't we? Will it matter? So that's what we're trying to get through. If children are getting this better than some of us who are older, if we're able to receive it more, again, I call your attention to Matthew 11, 25, as Jesus is praying. He says, "I thank you, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding." Remember I said last week, I think it was, that I see a lot of air quotes in Jesus' statement. He says, "I thank you that you have hidden these things from the wise," those who think they're wise, "from the understanding," those who think they get it. He says, "I've hidden those things from them and revealed them to little children." Now, in the culture in which Jesus was speaking, little children were not highly regarded. They were loved and taken care of, but they were not considered anything special in terms of, especially in terms of spiritual knowledge and those kinds of things. In verse 26, he says, "Yes, Father, for such is your gracious will." Little kids get it. What does that mean? That means parents have a very small window of time in which to get these things in the heads of their kids. It is their children, and when they're ripe to hear these things is when they're small. And that's when you can make the biggest impression on your children. And remember, again, that Jesus says in Matthew 18, unless you turn and become like children, you can't enter the kingdom of God. So there's some turning that has to go on. He's speaking to adults there. So he wants us to look at kids and say, look at them, learn something from it, and then turn. He uses that term in other places to mean repent or to change. So look at kids, learn from them. They're meek and lowly and humble and all of that. And then turn, he says, and become like them. So that's our challenge. And we saw this all week. We expose ourselves to that. We need to change. Jesus came, as we talked about in class this morning, in this class here, we need to change. And we've got little demonstrations of what we need to be all around us, especially here. And so we need to learn from that. Christy and I work in the Sugar Shack. We're going to change the name to this, the Sugar Shack, next year, because it's what it is. We don't make any apologies for that. So one huge advantage is that we get to see all the kids during the week. Virtually every single child comes into that shack, that little store that we have there, and buys stuff. And we sell a lot of really bad stuff for kids. That's what we sell. A lot of little sugary treats, and bottle pops and pop this and pop that, little ring pops, some that flash and some that don't. We sell all kinds of stuff. They're pure sugar. There's one, we sell a pacifier, and some of the older kids even, they go around with these they're sugar pacifiers, and they're sucking on them all day. So they come in, and we get to see these kids, and we get to see them face to face. And that's kind of cool. We love that. Danny Rimbusky and Jenny Mars helped us this year, and they're a huge help. Because they come in droves sometimes. They line up forever. This was our senior. This was our prank. You know, the senior campers, so those of you who don't know, the senior campers can prank each other, right? They do that. They do different things. This is our prank on all the counselors. Just give them candy. Especially the junior campers. So that's what we do. As I reflect back on that, I think what we see in those precious little faces that come into the sugar shack, that come in there. And I was trying to think of a passage that might quickly sum up some of the qualities of character. Turn over to Titus chapter 3, verse 2. Just this one verse, basically, is what we're going to look at right now. Titus 3, verse 2. What Paul is doing here is he's instructing Titus to instruct these people, remind these adults of some things. And I just think, as I was looking at these four things that we're going to look at very briefly, I just think these are things that are characteristic of children. So when you go back and you say, well, Jesus says, be like them, be converted and be like a child, then I think we see some of these things. He says in verse 2, I'm going to read 1 and 2. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. First thing he says is to speak evil of no one. Imagine a land, if you will, where there's no gossip, slander, or rumor. Imagine that. Try to imagine a place. Even imagine a church in which there is no gossip, slander, or rumor. None of those kinds of things going on. We all know the tongue's a mighty thing, and it's mighty hard to keep it in check. I don't know. I wasn't there, but as far as I could tell from my little protected spot in the sugar shack, I don't think there was any of this going on. There might have been. Because this tends to be private. But I don't think it was. I think there's a kind of a feeling there that's just wrong. Because it is. What he says here is don't do that. Don't get trapped into doing that. Don't speak evil of anyone. Say nothing. Speak no evil of your fellow Christian ever. If you get something to say to them. I think he's telling them that. In Matthew, that doesn't mean you don't. That doesn't mean you don't correct them or try to move them in the right direction if you think they're going in the wrong direction. Maybe that happened during camp. I don't know. In Matthew 23, Jesus 6 times calls the Pharisees hypocrite. And we say, well, that wasn't very nice. Or was it? What if there's just one Pharisee standing in the back and he hears Jesus say this? And he says, this Pharisee saying to himself, he says, I think he may be right. I think I've been hypocritical. I think I see that now. It's not kind to be quiet when you know that someone needs something that you can do to help. And so, Proverbs 17:10 says, a rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. But from my perspective, I saw these kids being friendly to each other. I didn't hear any kind of talk going on that's out of school, as we say. No evil speaking. And I hope that was so. The second thing he says here is avoid quarreling. Avoid fighting. Imagine a land where everyone roots for each other, even on competing teams. So, there's a lot of competition going on there. I never heard any huge arguments. I have never heard any little arguments. I didn't hear any arguments going on. It's possible that happened, but I think when we look at kids, we see all of them kind of bonding together and getting along, and the egos are set aside. Remember that song that was sung, "We Are the World"? This goes way back before most of people's time in here. If you remember this song, you're a little bit on the older side. So, but it was Michael Jackson, Harry Belafonte put it together, and "We Are the World" was the song. You can still look it up if you don't know what I'm talking about. If you're just too young to know. But over the door, when they walked in to record the song, it said, "Check your ego at the door." The reason they did that is because everybody that was involved in that project was super famous. They were celebrities. And they're going to walk into a room, and if they were trying to outdo each other, is one trying to sing louder than the other or become known, the project was going to fall apart. Boy, we got to have that in here. And I think we see it in at camp without having the sign, "Check your ego at the door." Everybody kind of knows that we're not in here to compete. I know when Danny announced the points, and even when he announced fourth place, which is last place, those kids just cheered like they won everything. When we step out of camp environment into the world, and we are involved in sports, if you have your kid in soccer or something and they lose the championship game or whatever, you're probably not cheering over on the sideline. That's probably not what you're doing. But that's what they do at camp. That's what kids do. Kids who are lowly and humble do that. I didn't hear any groans, in fact. They might have groaned now and then. That's okay, but not on that occasion. Third thing he says here is to be gentle. And we can substitute kind to be kind-hearted, show some loving kindness, be like Jesus, lowly and humble in heart. What messes everything up for anything that we try to do? What messes everything up? What word would you yell out if I gave you? See, we have to get up here and we're up here and lecturing, but what word would you think of that messes up just about everything? Starts with a P. And it's not posy. Starts with a P. It's pride, isn't it? Pride is the thing that messes everything up. And when you can imagine a land where there is no selfish pride going on, and that's what you see most of the time. I'm sure there's some little pockets of that at camp. There always is. There's going to be some of that. But that's what we don't see. So doing things to be seen and admired is kind of how pride exhibits itself. Doing things to be number one and to kind of rise above the top. G.K. Chesterton said that if he had only one more sermon to preach, excuse me, it would be on pride, because he says all evil begins with some attempt at superiority. People trying to be superior to others. And we see this in the church all the time. It's unfortunate. But you don't see that with little kids. You don't see that at all. You see lowly little kids. And here's my favorite for our purposes this morning, the fourth thing he says. He says in the ESV version, he says, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Now remember, Paul is instructing Titus to remind adults of this, of these things. Remind adults of these things. To show perfect courtesy to all people. Imagine a land of please and thank you and perfect manners. Okay, all the time. So it was very apparent that as the kids came in, the junior campers, this was true for everyone. The elder ones, I think, kind of know this by heart. That's obviously part of their nature. But it's most impressive when a small child comes in, and you got a whole line of them, and they're courteous to each other. We had a lot of first-timers this year at camp, and so we had a lot of younger kids. We had about half and half of the senior and junior, I understand. And Angie and Matt do a great job with all this, by the way. But they said about half and half, but the junior campers were younger. I think that's safe. Yeah. And when they were asking how many were first, a lot of hands went up, I noticed, because I was in the back. And so they come in the sugar shack, sometimes for the first time, and they're all kind of finding their place. Nobody's cutting in line or trying. We say, okay, move this way, and line them up, and they line up, and they let other people go ahead of them. They always said please and thank you. It was really an exhibit in that little Petri dish of the sugar shack. This exhibit of perfect courtesy. And Christy and I were both totally impressed by that. So the good old magic words were common, and there was no pride and all that stuff going on. I'm kind of singing the praises of these young people because, first place, because Jesus tells us to look at them. And, you know, I was thinking as we were singing this morning, a lot of times there are songs that just have the soprano sing, right? And then you have the sopranos, and then the altos come in, the tenors, and the bass. Why don't we have to do this one time, and I know a couple of song leaders will be up for this, but we'd have just the kids sing a line or two. Just the kids sing, because that's what we heard a lot this week. In the morning devotional, the adults who sit in the back, with some of the counselors sitting back there, a little slower to warm up. We haven't had all our coffee yet, no, that's it. So the kids are pretty much, they've been up like since 5:30 or something, I don't know, playing basketball or whatever. So they're singing a little louder, and it's really good. You get to hear kids sing like that all the time. And so maybe we ought to try that sometime. That's up to the song leaders. But will it matter is the question. Will it matter? What matters most to us? What will make a difference in your life? I think these four things that Paul talks about, if we can somehow bridle our tongue and speak evil, notice he says of no one. Speak evil of no one. It's not something that should ever become a habit for us to just casually start talking about other people. If we could do that, that really matters. That will matter in the short run and the long run. Avoid quarreling. Nobody wants to fight, do they? The people who like to fight, there are people who are contentious. They love controversy. They do whatever to try to stir it up. Don't get caught in that. Don't be one who fights and quarrels. To be gentle, just like Jesus. To be kind. Kindness is important. And to show perfect courtesy. What will matter? Unless you turn, he says, and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. And you're never too old to turn. You're never too old to turn. So this isn't just for the kids that are there today. But who do you admire most? I'm gonna kind of conclude with this. It took me a long time to learn this. There was a time when I thought that being famous was really important, and I kind of wanted to be famous. Kind of thought it might be. There was a time when I thought being rich would be really good because you could buy whatever car you wanted and all that kind of stuff. There was a time when I thought a lot of these kind of worldly entrapments would be great. As I got older, I began to admire people who were kind. People who were kind. That's kind of seems kind of simple. That's the people I began to admire. And these are the people who I think were the most childlike. And the people who were more Christ-like. In Ephesians chapter 4, at verse 32, Paul says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." As we look at what God does and how He treats us, how Jesus lived and how He treats us, that's what we see. That's what we see. And I began to admire people who were kind and forgiving and tender-hearted. When my mother died in 1997, it caused me to reflect on this. And she had many wonderful qualities, but I remember it was about 2 weeks, I think, probably, after my mom passed away, that I was lying in bed and I just started crying because, and what came out of me was, my mother was really a kind person. That's what I couldn't shake that. I mean, that was the thing that kind of stood out. And she came from a family of very kind people. And I don't know. As I look at that, I just appreciate that so much. I don't always practice it like I should, because I could give you a whole long list. I was going to give you a long list of stuff that maybe kindness does. Maybe that's for another lesson. Kindness greets each other, and kindness does all these things. I want to say something to the little kids. You know, I don't know where you want to draw the line. But those of you who are humble and lowly, kind, compassionate in your youth, just keep doing it. Just stay that way. I think I put it this way. Stay humble. And for the rest of us, let's just stay young. Stay young. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to look to the children, because that is what the kingdom of God is like. Tells us that in Matthew 19. Stay humble. Stay young. We're going to sing, not up there, but you could put it up if you want. We're going to sing, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." It comes from Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And all these things, all these physical things that we strive so hard for and work so hard for, will be added to us. But we seek that first. We seek his kingdom first. And we just learn from reading Matthew 18 and 19, we just learned that the kingdom that is like children. So, see, you seek the kingdom. One thing you can do, not the only thing, is you can look at the little children that come to us. And Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for such is the kingdom of God." That's something we can do often. And then from that point, as we think of this song, and we think of the words of this song, if we're seeking first the kingdom, then we're seeking Christ. We believe in Christ. We obey Christ. We confess Christ every day of our life. And if you haven't been baptized yet, you need to be baptized into Christ so you can continue that walk as a Christian for the rest of your life. As a virtual young person, a virtual child, that's what we want to do. If you're subject to the invitation, come as we stand and sing.